starts this finance division to order. Quorum is president.
Just checking before.
Representative Sundin, will you approve the minutes?
I read them thoroughly and I have a motion to approve.
I don't think so.
Motion to approve the minutes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign, motion carries. First bill on the agenda today is House File 4180. Representative Hansen. Representative Hansen, do you like to move House File 4180? Do you recommend to be referred to Ways and Means?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would do so. I would move House File 4180 to be recommended to go to the Ways and Means Committee, and I do have an amendment.
You want to explain the amendment briefly, Representative Hansen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The 4180 DE1 amendment is the bill that was heard in Policy Committee. It also has been introduced as a bill, and this would spend the $60,000 that was held last year for a agreement between the MPCA and the dry cleaners. There was $60,000, you may remember, there was $60,000 provided for reimbursement, and there was a second $60,000 that was held contingent upon the dry cleaners and the MPCA coming to an agreement on how to deal with the fund in the future. That agreement did not occur, so I am moving to release that second $600,000. In addition, we would be banning percoethylene for dry cleaners. We had testimony in the Policy Committee that there are relatively few dry cleaners that use percoethylene, but there are some. And then we would establish a program for cost share to convert those remaining dry cleaners to a non-perk option.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Hansen, I just want to be clear on you used the number 60,000.
About 600,000.
Okay.
600,000.
Yep. Three or four times, and I thought, yeah, as usual, I was confused, but okay, good.
Mr. Chair and Representative Fabian, that's my error. I did not have lunch, so if there are any other errors, I'll write it off to that. But 600,000. So I'd ask for support for the DE1 to get the bill into shape so it matches up with the Senate bill.
Any other questions? Representative Hansen moves the DE1 amendment to get the bill in shape you would like it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. To your bill, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I think many of you were in the Policy Committee where we had testimony where I indicated I'd like to get the dry cleaner percoethylene issue resolved, try to clean up past challenges, but also deal with the future, so, and providing cost share, which is an existing model, so that we wouldn't have that, and that has successfully occurred in the city of Minneapolis. I would ask for your support.
You have some testifiers for your bill, Representative Hansen?
I think the MPCA would like to testify. I'm not sure if they're in support of the bill or not.
Thank you.
Hopefully they're aggressively neutral.
Aggressively.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair and committee members, for the record, my name is Kirk Adelka. I'm with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. As Representative Hansen mentioned, we are opposed to Section 2 of the bill. This goes back to the dry cleaner fund. Our concerns is what this does is moves us further, doesn't move us any closer to a solution for the dry cleaner account. We've identified that there are problems and have put together a number of solutions. In July, we worked to put together a six-page memo to talk with the Minnesota Cleaners Association, where we outlined the three problems we see with the account and eight different solutions, many of them without any monetary needs, to be able to help with the long-term viability of this account. Our concern about the use of the $600,000 and those dollars that are not used for the report is that money is being taken away from the remediation fund, which is for higher priority sites where there is more potential risk for human health and the environment. And when the MPCA spends money out of that account, it's because there's no one else there to do it. The agency is the last resort to be able to help clean up these sites and address them. Instead, money is going to the dry cleaner account. The dry cleaner account right now has no applications from actual operators of dry cleaners waiting. We do have a backlog of those who have leased to a dry cleaner, and most, in this case, they are property management companies and strip malls, and the reason they're doing this cleanup work is because they're doing it for, in many cases, the financial transactions that they're looking for brownfield or assurances. It is not because the agency has contacted them for work to be done because of concerns about cleanup. So our concern, though, then is we are taking money that can be used for those higher priority sites and put it towards sites that are more like third-party development projects, which is what we, a couple years ago, worked with the Minnesota Cleaner Association to no longer make eligible for the account. Our concern is, and the reason that there was the language in the legislation last year, was that we wanted to get to a conclusion and not keep coming back here year after year and taking money from other accounts that are used for cleanups to address the dry cleaners account backfill. There are multiple ways to do this, including we've talked about to solve this problem that don't cost financial pieces for the state and would address the problems, and we're excited to keep having conversations on that. We've had a number of them with the Cleaners Association. They have not yet come to agreement on any of those. We have an upcoming meeting with senators and representatives next week to continue this conversation, and we believe there are better options than just bringing this money from other sites to clean up what our development costs.
Thank you for testimony, Mr. Kudelka. Any questions? Next testifier is Dart Poach, Minnesota Dry Cleaners Association. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair and committee members, my name is Dart Poach. I own Don's Leather Cleaning in Minneapolis. I volunteer my time to the Minnesota Cleaners Association as a board member. I testified back in 1995 when the Dry Cleaning Fund was enacted. On behalf of the Cleaners Association, I would like to thank Representative Hansen for his continued support of the dry cleaners of Minnesota. Back in 95, there was 350 dry cleaners. Today we have 95. 25% of those have perk machines. That's much better than the national average, which is 60 to 70%. So we've been doing all the right things. The capital investment is the biggest capital investment for a dry cleaner. And all of these 22 left, 25%, are very small. Thus the a cost share type thing, similar to what Minneapolis did over the last 5 years, where we look forward to working with Representative Hansen on making sure there's enough appropriation and enough time allowed for these last 22 to change out their perk machines. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Poach. Any questions? Is there anyone else in the audience like to testify for or against this bill? If not, any member questions? Representative Hansen renews the motion. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Kudelka, can you come back to the table, please? Thank you, Mr.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Assistant Commissioner Kudelka, I heard you talking about not wanting to do the $600,000 out of the remediation fund. How much money is in the remediation fund at this time?
Commissioner Kadelka.
Mr. Chair and committee members, I don't have that number in front of me at this moment.
Representative
Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there someone in the room that does have it? Ooh.
We can ask staff.
I think we do, yeah. Mr. Hagemeyer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Fabian, I don't have it in front of me right here. On the last forecast documents, there is some discrepancies that we are working with MMB and the agency to figure out of how the balance works in those funds. The remediation fund will be very near zero on the forecast. Okay. But the remediation fund is primarily funded through a transfer from the environmental fund, so there's that caveat to it as well.
Representative Fabian.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Hagemeyer, how does that transfer happen from the environmental fund to the remediation fund? What triggers that?
Mr. Hagemeyer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Fabian, in the past, every biennial budget, we put a transfer number in the bill. It's been $44 million the last several bienniums. And I think several years ago, we upped it in the second year on the agency's request to increase it slightly, a few million more.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I want to be clear. So a year ago, was there money transferred in there to the tune of roughly $44 million? And that's now back down to about zero?
Mr. Hagemeyer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Fabian, I mean, it's a budgetary process, so they had the authority to transfer $44 million from the Environmental Fund to Remediation Fund, and that is not the only funding source. There are other funds coming in there. That's a larger one of it. They have the authority to spend that over the course of 2 years, so the money is projected for next year in there as a transfer, and the spending is also a projection for next year and the rest of this year. So the money's there on paper. It's not necessarily at that point yet in the process.
Okay. Thank you,
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not in the desk drawer in my office either. I know that. So, Commissioner Kadelka, what I heard you talking about your meeting and so forth, but what solutions are you proposing?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair and committee members, I can just go over a high level of our various ones. One of them is right now the registration fee. One of the problems that we have identified is that the registration fee for small businesses are, we have heard, can be difficult to cover. And so we've got a couple solutions to address that. Right now, it's currently set up on a FTE number of the dry cleaner. And this is the only state program that's built like this. And so we would want to change it to how much is their gross revenue. So it is a needs base. So an example of that would be a small dry cleaner, for instance, in whether it's in greater Minnesota or the metro that only made $30,000 in gross sales, if we did a 2% fee structure, it would only be a $600 fee for that dry cleaner instead of a $3,600 fee for that dry cleaner. So that would then help with that question of whether or not it is an impact on the cleaners. The other piece is the way the dry cleaner industry is changed. Many of these use hub and spoke systems. You have collection sites, and you have a main site that does the cleaner. But that really doesn't quite show. We only count the cleaning site, so it doesn't quite show the size of the cleaner. So you could have a really small cleaner that does everything for two people, but is paying the same fee as a larger cleaner on their fee registration. So we'd like to change that. As one suggestion we've suggested, we could also change the priority on how things are done, one more based on risk or prioritizing dry cleaner operators versus the property management companies. We've suggested we are having problems right now where additional resources are needed because of non-compliant cleaners and how we could fix that. We've suggested removing property owners, those property leasers from the eligibility from the account. They account for 70 to 80%. That would bring down the expenditures to where the amount of revenue coming in meets that. We've suggested doing a cap on reimbursements, much like other funds have. For instance, the Ag Chemical Response and Reimbursement account has a cap on it. That's a account similar to this, and a few others. And those are just the ones that wouldn't cost anything in terms of a fiscal note to the state, and many of them would have benefits to dry cleaners and being able to get their reimbursement quicker, and those smaller dry cleaners would pay a smaller fee and be more based on their ability to pay. So these are just a brief highlight of some of the ideas we've brought forward, and I'd be more than happy to share the memo with you and go over more details if you'd like.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Good. Any other questions? Okay, Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 4180, as amended, be recommended to be referred to Ways and Means. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Next bill up is House File 4311, Department of Agriculture, Pollution Control Agency, Board of Water, Soil Resources. I think it's commonly called the Clean Water Fund Bill. Representative Hansen, would you like to move House File 4311 to be recommended to be referred to the Legacy Division?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move House File 4311 be recommended to go to the Legacy Division. Members, this is the last couple years we have had a second year bill or appropriation for a clean water fund because there have been funds in the fund for clean water. So what we did, what I did in this bill is I have a series of appropriations based on the amount that is projected to be in the fund available for spending this fiscal year. As members know, the Clean Water Fund is usually appropriated on a biennial basis, and there are recommendations that come from the Clean Water Council. The Clean Water Council made recommendations last year. I believe the Budget Committee has reviewed the remainder, but there is not a formal recommendation. So what this does is it appropriates $250,000 the MDA for grants for Forever Green. We funded Forever Green last year. $492,000 appropriated from the Clean Water Fund to the PCA to adopt rules establishing water quality standards for PFOAs and PFOSs. The Clean Water Fund in the past has been used for regulatory activity. It was used for rulemaking for the Mississippi River critical area. It also was used for banning coal tar, and it was used for science in terms of LIDAR mapping the state to make decisions. So there's a variety of uses that have the precedent is there for some of these uses. This matches well with Representative Sandel's bill and provides funding for that rulemaking for PFOAs and PFOSs. There is $488,000 to the Board of Water and Soil Resources for permanent conservation easements and perennial vegetation and cover crops on wellhead protection areas. I think we've had testimony before that demand is high for that, and it prioritizes those with expiring CRP contracts. The Department of Health, $250,000 is appropriated from the Clean Water Fund to amend the health risk limit for perchlorooctane sulfonate so the health risk limit does not exceed 0.015 parts per billion. I believe that was Representative Wagenius had had that bill in the past, I think. $1.75 million to the Commissioner of Health for addressing public health concerns related to contaminants found in drinking water for which no health-based drinking water standards exist, or developing and adopting health risk limits consistent with the capacity for monitoring drinking water. So again, drinking water is called out in the constitutional language, and this would appropriate funds there. $750,000 appropriated from the Clean Water Fund to the Commissioner of Health for studying occurrence and magnitude of contaminants in compliant and non-compliant private wells, including microplastics and nanoplastics. So this is in addition to the appropriation that occurred last year, and this would be looking for a broader assessment of plastics, microplastics, which this committee has heard several times. Metropolitan Council, $500,000 for inflow infiltration. Precedent has been set for that with high priority areas in the metropolitan area. And then $2.7 million would go from the Clean Water Fund to the Border Regents for the study of water's role in transporting chronic waste and disease prions. And that was presented to Representative Lilly's committee, Chair Lilly's committee previously. So that is the bill, and I believe you have a spreadsheet as well.
there anyone in the audience like to testify for or against this bill? Member questions. Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, did I hear you say that we don't have Clean Water Council recommendations formally? Is that correct?
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Representative Heinzman, my understanding is that the Budget Committee looked at and recommended from last year, but the full committee has not. If that's changed recently, I would stand corrected.
Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We also don't have LCCMR recommendations this year. Is this a theme this session, Mr. Hansen?
Chair Hansen.
Well, I think, Mr. Chair and Representative Heinzman, I think when there's very controversial things that are, they jam up the works and prevent recommendations from occurring. I believe with the Clean Water Fund, that is not the case. I believe that the money is there. And the legislature has in the past appropriated things and made priorities for those funds. I believe we've had funding for soil and water conservation districts that was not recommended by the Clean Water Council that has come in through the legislative process as well.
Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I'm reading the projects, I see a lot of things that I think people like and appreciate. But one opinion is that if there's controversial projects, we can't seem to get the LCCMR or maybe other groups to come to an agreement. But then there's also another theory that maybe this is a tactic. People can decide for themselves what they think it is. I am curious if there is anyone from the agencies that would speak to their thoughts on this proposal. And if someone could come down, that would be great.
Representative Heinzman, I don't know if there's any comment from the agencies on this. I don't see anybody jumping out of their
Mr.
seat.
Chair, I'm going to go ahead and quantify that. Would MPCA please comment if they would, or DNR?
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Greta Gauthier, Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Could I have the question repeated, please?
Representative Heinzman, can you repeat the question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, just looking at the bill, I'm curious if you have any comment on the proposals here, if MPCA supports these projects.
Scott here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Heinzman. Thank you for the question. Agencies are not taking positions on proposals that have supplemental budgetary impacts because our position on the supplemental budget is the governor's supplemental budget. So in that light, I would say we don't have a position on this bill.
Okay. Representative Heinzman.
That's all, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Backer.
More so a comment, Chair. One of the things that, I've talked to several folks, especially in my district, and clean water I know is important, and the SWCDs have done such a great job with that. And in the past, we funded those out of this. I think it's very important. I know there's people that would disagree, but they're the ones that are on boots on the ground. They're the ones that work with the landowners, and not just in the counties I represent, but across the state. So it seems to me that it would be prudent. I would hope maybe I would recommend you to consider, Chair, that during negotiations, if that comes up, that we should consider it. It does a lot with, those folks do a lot with the erosions and buffers and other projects and so forth. So it's more of a comment, so thank you. So I am disappointed that I'm not seeing any SWCDs in them, and thank you for considering that.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Kadelka, excuse me, Gauthier.
You didn't have lunch either, did you?
No, I didn't, as a matter of fact. But I did stay at Holiday Inn Express last night. The House research document that's in our folders, the second bullet point, the $492,000 for the Pollution Control Agency to establish water quality standards for PFOAs. And PFOS. If you were to do that within the agency, if that was a proposal, where would those dollars come from if you were going to do that?
Ms. Guthrie.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Fabian, I'm not sure I understand your question. This was not a governor's bill, and there is a fiscal note on it, I believe. I don't have that fiscal note in front of me, however.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, just my question is if the MPCA were going to establish water quality standards for, in this case, PFOA and PFOS, how would you finance that in the agency to go through establishing those water quality standards? Where would those dollars come from? Out of which fund at the MPCA?
Ms. Guthrie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of course, the legislature holds the purse strings and tells us which funds to use for various activities. But aside from that, I think that most of our budget comes from the Environmental Fund, which is supplied by the Solid Waste Management Tax and other sources. So I'm assuming that would be a source that we could use in rulemaking on this topic.
Representative Fabian.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, so you said you're not taking a position on this bill. Is there anything in the governor's budget recommendations that is establishing water quality standards similar to what we have here?
Ms. Guthrie.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Fabian, thanks for the question. The governor's budget did come out today, and for my agency, there are not supplemental items related to setting any water quality standards.
Thank you.
Representative Fabian. Any other member questions? Representative Lewick.
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And page 3, subdivision 7, we're talking, what, $2.7 million to examine chronic wasting disease-related prions in waterways. Do we have any definitive information as to whether they exist today and to what extent?
Chair Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Representative Lewick, I think members of the Legacy Committee could probably answer that because they had the presentation. We did meet. There is evidence that prions can move in water. We have a variety of topography and geography in this state. And so meeting with the University of Minnesota, they originally came forward with a request for $3 million. We asked them if they could trim that, and so we had a 2.7 request. I think actually that's Representative Becker Finn's bill, and she could answer that clearer.
Representative Becker Finn.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I actually was next on the list because I was going to bring up this project. We did have a hearing on this. The U of M is ready to go, and they basically what Representative Hansen just stated, there's a lot of factors that go into how it moves in water, and they also testified to the ability of the prions to come up in plants depending upon the soil and how the water moves. And so we think this would have a lot of ramifications both for the ability to use the water and the safety of the water going forward. They're more than ready to do the work, and I think Representative Heintzman had also stated his support for the project as well in Legacy Committee.
Representative Luck.
Thank you. Understand, I guess, to kind of beat up the other the other programs to this extent, though, it would seem this looks like a five-year, in fact, I think it is almost it's a pretty lengthy study. And from the perspective of it looks like it's going to take a lot of dollars away from other programs, it would seem like it would be appropriate to first ask some very tight basic questions, because this looks like a laundry list that you can employ a whole lots of folks on, and years down the road, not sure where they said that. Well, if this, maybe I'm being wishful thinking here, but if this turned out to not be a big problem, they're going to stop and give the money back? I don't think so. I'll answer my own question. I just seems like this is a huge chunk. I'm not downplaying the need to take a look at this, but I think we need to base that on some pretty hard data of, okay, let's go out and see these prions right away and see where they're at right now. And I don't hear we even got that data.
Representative Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm sure we can forward the materials from the Legacy Committee on to everybody else. I just wanted to state my support for the bill. I think, you know, when we pay that little bit of extra tax for these funds, we want to see the dollars put to work. And I think these are some good projects, you know, that go. It was kind of funny when the question was asked if somebody from the agency would step down. I was looking at the list and trying to figure out which agency we are referring to, because, you know, we're really hitting a lot of different wide range of things that are all, I think, important things for us to be working on regarding to water, whether it's in ag or health, Bowser, Met Council, U of M. You know, there's a lot of important things we can be doing with water, and I thank Representative Hansen for bringing this forward this year.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name came up, and so I'm going to go ahead and make a comment and just clear the air a little bit. So, yeah, I did speak in favor of the proposal, and I continue to be interested, but I should mention that when Commander Lewick stops by my office, he might bend my ear a little bit from time to time, and I think he's got the right idea in regard to some of the concern on that proposal. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of it as we go forward through this process.
Any other member questions? Representative Hansen, or closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just in closing, if we have prions moving through water and they last forever and they can be transported in plants, we have got a huge issue. And the reason this is a five-year, we have these funds can be expended for a long time to hire the best and the brightest, which is what we have a history of doing. We're going to need that long-term commitment. And so that's why that request is in here. And I ask for your support for this important comprehensive bill.
Chair Hansen renews his motion that House File 4311 be recommended to be referred to the Legacy Finance Division. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Next up is House File 2823. Representative Hewitt.
Representative Hewitt.
Mr. Chair.
I will move House File 2823 to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Representative Hewitt, I believe you have an author's amendment.
Representative Chair Hansen, was it supposed to go to jobs?
In the new world, Representative Hewitt, it has to go to Ways and Means, and then it will get referred to the Jobs Division.
Burton back to my first year, sorry. And you moved the amendment already, is that correct?
I have not moved the amendment. I will move the DE2 amendment now.
Mr. Chair, committee, thank you for hearing the bill today. This was a project that my city submitted to me last year, late in the session, that they wanted to rework a current project. This bill actually puts it in the shape that they needed on for funding. The money is sitting over in deed. It's not a new expense. This is already on the bottom line. It's just been sitting there waiting to be used. That's why the city's here, and we want to get it through the process as soon as possible so they can continue on the project.
All those in favor of the DE2 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Amendment is adopted. To the bill as amended, do you have any testifiers?
I have deed in the house and the agency if we need them for the questions about how this came about. If I could tell you more about the project if you need it, but basically this just puts it in the funds the project, and we just have to go to another committee to get that.
Any questions? Any questions? Any closing comments, Representative Hewitt?
I thank you for your time today, committee.
I renew my motion that House File 2823 as amended be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. You're on your way.
Thank you, committee.
Representative Vang. Representative Vang. Go do it. Representative Becker Finn will move that House File 3982 be referred to the Energy and Climate Finance and Policy Division.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Testifiers, and if Representative Vang is unable to be here, we're going to have Representative Becker Finn move the bill. With Larry Kraft, Katie Schroer, and Cedric Fischer. Oh, there she is. So your bill has been moved, Representative Vang. If you would like to discuss your bill, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry about the brief pause there. I thought I should take a quick little break. So I'm here to present House File 3982, which appropriates $5 million during fiscal 21 from the general fund to the MPCA to provide climate action grants to Minnesota cities. So this requires MPCA to establish a grant program and encourage cities to combat climate change by developing and implementing action plans and, or creating new organizations to devise policies and programs to do either the following: mitigate impacts of the climate change on cities, reduce cities' contributions to the causes of climate change. And so today I have two testifiers here with me to share the committee why this legislation is important. And I'll defer to my testifiers.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Katie Schroer. I am a senior in high school from Northfield, Minnesota. I am a youth representative and voting member on the Northfield Environmental Quality Commission. And I have had the rare but vitally important opportunity to help my city create a climate action plan. I am here because I know there are many other students and board members in many other cities across Minnesota who want and need to do the same, but who need your help to do it. Climate change is a global issue, but the worst of its effects are felt locally, such as the more frequent floods and severe storms that we have experienced in Northfield. Because of these local impacts, it is extremely important for cities to be able to respond and take action on a local level. I am one of many citizens, businesses, and organizations that worked together over the last few years to create our own Northfield Climate Action Plan, which our City Council passed in November. I am proud of and excited by all the work that's been done in Northfield, work that was made possible in large part by outside financial support like the kind that this bill would provide. We need more cities to help mitigate this crisis, and more cities need to be able to protect themselves and their citizens from the impact that climate change is already having around Minnesota. This bill would support that. In particular, it would give small towns with fewer resources than Northfield the chance to do this work that they want and need to do, but that may not otherwise be possible. Finally, this bill prioritizes plans that reach out to a broad and diverse group of citizens, organizations, and institutions. At its best, a climate action planning process not only creates a list of policies and objectives for a city to pursue, but results in a more connected, accessible, and energized effort to make the city a healthier and more livable place for everyone. I have had the honor of being part of a process that did often feel like this, and we need more cities and citizens to have that chance too. I support this bill because in many places, the important work of climate action planning, which is wanted and needed now more than ever by city governments and young people alike, will not happen without the support of legislation like this. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Larry Kraft. I was just recently elected to City Council in St. Louis Park. So we have a climate action plan. It was adopted in February of 2018, and at the time was the most aggressive in Minnesota, with an aim of carbon neutrality by 2040. There are now two other cities in Minnesota with similar goals, Grand Marais and Northfield. Our plan happened because of youth involvement. 4 years ago, students from the Roots and Shoots Environmental Club at our high school were the ones that pushed our city council and initiated the creation of our climate action plan. For most of the past 5 years, I had also been involved with iMatter, a nonprofit that supports pre-college students that care deeply about this issue and helps them get civically engaged. St. Louis Park's example inspired youth action and city action in many other places around Minnesota and the country. Their action in cities like Grand Marais, Eden Prairie, Bloomington, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Edina, Minnetonka, and Northfield. Climate action must become a lens with which we view almost every action and every level of government. We're trying to do that in St. Louis Park. Some examples of the actions and policies initiated or influenced by our climate action plan include a building energy benchmarking ordinance, a climate champions program to help businesses and residents learn, take action, and get recognition, encouraging and in some cases requiring electric vehicle charging infrastructure in parking lots, prioritizing pedestrian and cyclists in our 10-year Connect the Park road infrastructure plan. It's also, as Katie mentioned, has helped us develop citizens to be more knowledgeable and engaged. For example, that high school environmental club, they've continued to be involved, and in fact, around the fourth set of club leaders since their first engagement with council. They're on our Environment and Sustainability Commission, and then they turned their advocacy to the school district. And recently, about 8 months ago, the school district adopted the same goals as the city, and just a few weeks ago put out a plan to, on virtually every building that the district owns, put solar panels, which will cover 65% of the school's energy usage. So with cities, we can do a lot. I'm really excited for this bill and that it would help 100 to 200 Minnesota cities get started or take additional action. That's huge. Not only does the creation of a city plan jumpstart action throughout the city and community, but cities learn from and influence each other. Just as with St. Louis Park, those 100 to 200 cities will impact many other communities around them. I urge your support of this bill. It's a relatively modest amount of money, but as we've shown in St. Louis Park, it will be an investment that spurs a lot of additional beneficial action. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Vang, do you have another testifier?
Nope. We did have Cedric, a council member from Crystal, who did initiate plan and come, but he wasn't unable to make it. So that is all for our testimony.
Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify for or against the bill? Representative Lewick.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess to the bill's author, Representative Vang, is there some reason why tribal governments weren't included in this?
Representative Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just so I hear your question right, is there a reason why tribal governments aren't included in this?
Exactly. I don't see any.
Okay.
We define cities, big cities, little cities, but we don't mention tribal governments, and that's a little bit, you know, exactly how those are they're defined. But I'm they're very specific federally recognized tribal governments in the state of Minnesota.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Vang.
Thank you, Representative, for your question. That is implied in the language, but if that's not clear, we can make it explicit in there, too.
I would suggest that you probably, ought to clarify that, because you certainly don't want to get into an argument downstream. And I know that every commissioner has a absolute duty to consult on literally everything specifically with tribal governments. And then we'll be getting we get a periodic report from the IRRRB, which is another agency that's located out kind of St. Paul. Every time we have a meeting, we always get an update on exactly how that agency interacts. And so I would suggest you might want to clarify that just a friendly suggestion.
Representative Backer was next.
Thank you, Chair. I'm looking at line 1.8 through 1.9. My question there is what, because it's easy just to go off intentions, but when we're spending other taxpayers' money, I want to know what quantitative steps will be used to determine that there. You know, we're talking about regional climate patterns associated with increased levels of greenhouse gas emission entering the atmosphere largely as a result of human activity. So how is that going to be quantified? What steps will be done to be steps? Because I can make assumptions all day. So we want to be good stewards of the resources from our taxpayers' money. So if you could help, I would appreciate that.
Representative Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I can also defer to my testifiers to answer more if they would like. But thank you, Representative, for your question. Well, we do know that climate change is here. Last year, Minnesota had the wettest year on record. So we do know that climate change is here. We need to prepare and be proactive. In terms of how we can quantify that, that's something that is an ongoing conversation that we can continue to build on further this legislation. But we need to be proactive. And that's the purpose of this bill, is to make sure that we can prepare ahead of time so we can mitigate when these natural occurrences have become too much for us, or for our cities to handle.
Representative Backer.
And I appreciate that, and I thank you for your comment, but there's not a quantified steps. You know, there are people that will argue, yes, we had a wet year, but we can go back for years and years to see that our climate has cycles, okay? We have cold, like, you know, the last March was cold. This March is a little warmer. We have less snow this March. So my biggest concern is not trying to get ahead of the curve, okay? That's not my biggest concern. My biggest concern is, are we going to be prudent with those resources? It's one thing to say that this is happening because of climate change. Since I've been born, climate has changed every single day. It's very seldom, and I'm just saying it's changing. And if we're going to say that we as humans are causing the problem, okay, but how are we going to quantify it instead of just saying we humans are causing it? And that's just something that really concerns me, because in this argument here is we get the argument of climate change, and I'm not anti-climate change, but I am prudent. I need to be prudent. I'm a business owner. If I go to people that my staff, and I say, hey, we need to do this, well, why? Well, I feel like it's happening. Well, my chemistry degree, I'm a chemist, would say, there's no way in heck would I ever get any money to go into a lab and to determine if I don't have, like when I did physical chemistry or organic chemistry, I had to have specific steps to do when I did my research for me even graded. So that is really my concern, is making sure we're just not going based on feelings. And I appreciate your concern about it, but we're spending taxpayers' money. I know people in my district are saying, hey, are we just spending the money because we feel good or we feel they're a problem? That is my concern with this bill. I think there needs to be more work on that.
Does Ms. Schroer or Mr. Kraft or Representative Vang want to take that?
Yeah, so
Mr. Kraft.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for that question. So what I would start by saying is this isn't a bill or an issue based on feelings. The science behind climate change, if you're a chemist, I'm sure you must agree, is clear. Right, it's happening. It's caused by the increase in carbon dioxide and fossil fuel burning emissions that have been put in our atmosphere. What climate action plans do, and what we have in St. Louis Park and in Northfield, is a plan to reduce those emissions. There are very specific metrics around those to measure how well we're doing at reducing those emissions. We're doing that for a number of reasons. One is that that's what will get us out of this. And also, at the same time, we're dealing with increasing amount of expense that we must invest to protect our infrastructure from the changes that are happening. One of the things of climate change is it makes air more moist. So this trend of increased wetness is as a result of climate change, and we're having to put more and more investment on our infrastructure because of it. So this is, you know, this is an investment that will bear many, many times fruit. And I think, you know, you measure it by how much emissions you're reducing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But you and I would just professionally disagree with it. There's studies out there showing that because we're increasing in production of corn, that increases moisture in the atmosphere. So, again, the thing that I'm coming back to here is my concern. I want to see success to this, is just quantify this more, and it's just not quantified in here. So I think there needs to be more work done. That's, and we're just going professionally disagree.
Ms. Schroer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would also like to emphasize Mr. Kraft's argument that this is not based on feelings, and in particular, it is not based on, as you say, we are feeling good. Here in Northfield, we are feeling very bad about the multiple 1,000-year floods that we have had just in the past decade, about farmers' fields flooding, delaying planting as it did last year, and much more. And I would also like to mention that many of the actions provided in climate action plans, such as ours, do not only have seemingly sort of intangible consequences of global warming reductions. They also have very local immediate consequences in the health of the city, air quality, and things like that. They are often very good for the economy, including for businesses, such things as energy efficiency measures. Part of our plan is, I think next week, members of our new energy task force are going to go around to businesses in Northfield and inform them about energy efficiency measures that they can take at no cost to them, which is good for both climate and for the business. And so I would just like to emphasize that emissions reductions and global warming reductions are not the only benefits associated with plans like this. Thank you.
At Representative Becker Finn, then Representative Heinzman, then Representative Magenius, and anybody else? Well, Becker Finn does, so Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm hoping that Representative Vang can help me out a little bit. Representative Lewick talked about tribal governments being left out of the language. I'm not seeing it here, but just checking in for my counties and my townships. Are they excluded from this as well?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for your question. So tribal counties, are supposed to be implied in the language, but if that's not clear, we can make it explicit. And for your question, counties have approached me, and we do agree that they should also be included. And so because of deadlines, I haven't been able to properly make the amendment deadline. So that is an ongoing conversation. This bill is actually is only a small section of a larger bill of the climate action bill. And so as we go along further, counties will be included.
Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the clarification on counties. You didn't mention townships. Are they going to be eligible or not? Okay. Final thought. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Kraft, I just am looking here a little bit more, and $50,000 is in some ways a significant sum. That's great. I am wondering, just so others who may be applying for these dollars, who may be considering developing a climate change plan, I think is what I heard you, how you described it. Was there any cost associated with developing that plan? And if there was, do you have any estimates or maybe specific numbers as to what it cost to do that?
Mr. Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Heinzman. So yeah, in St. Louis Park, and we're a city of slightly under 50,000 people, the creation of our climate action plan cost about $40,000. So this would be a significant help for other cities that I know face some challenges in getting the funding to take action.
Representative Guinness.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just with reference to the lines 1.8 and 1.10, there are really two questions there. The human activity question, has it been documented? Yes, it has, by the Pollution Control Agency. They have well documented the human activity in Minnesota and exactly how much each of the activities caused the release of climate change gases. And if you would like a link to that, I'd be happy to make sure you get that, or the committee members. And secondly, the global or regional climate patterns issue, separate issue. In our energy and climate committee, we heard just weeks ago from Dr. Mark Seeley, who presented what's happening in Minnesota and had a series of maps that were showing us what is happening in Minnesota. And we could also provide members a link to that, too. And we can maybe put that up on your website if you would like me to do that.
Representative Beckerfin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would request a roll call on this bill.
Roll call has been requested. Any further discussion? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So MPCA was mentioned here. Can they come down and answer a couple of questions, please?
Thank you. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Greta Gothier, Minnesota Pollution Control Agency.
Mr. Benke.
Mr. Chair, Dave Benke, Director of the Resource Management Assistance Division at the Pollution Control Agency.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So Representative Wagenius was talking about information being available on MPCA's website with regards to carbon. And if I got that wrong, I apologize, but I think that's what it was. Is that correct?
Mr. Benke or Ms. Gothier?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if that's been measured and quantified and so forth, if Minnesota were to eliminate all carbon emissions, what impact would that have on the total carbon contribution in the atmosphere around the world?
Mr. Benke or Ms. Gothier?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have that calculation in front of me.
Representative Fabian.
Can you get that information for us, please?
Ms. Yep. Gothier.
Mr. Chairman, yes, we can get that information for you, Representative Fabian.
Thank you.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are you taking a position on this bill?
Ms. Gothier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Fabian, because this bill includes an appropriation, we are not taking a position on this bill. However, I have reached out to Representative Vang. We have not met yet, but we've communicated via email about the bill.
Okay. So I think you
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you testified earlier that in the governor's supplemental budget, there was no additional general fund revenue for MPCA. Is that correct?
Ms. Gothier.
Mr. Chairman, I have not looked at the documents, so unless something has changed, we are not getting additional general fund money.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I believe Mr. Kraft said that $5 million is a, quote, relatively modest amount of money. I disagree with that. I think that this is a fairly significant amount of money. And because of that, I'll be voting against the bill. I wish that could have put some more work into this so that we would have a little bit more cooperation between the agencies and the bill author, but and the administration. I don't think we're there, so thank you.
Representative Vang, closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank the members of the committee for giving us an opportunity to hear this bill. You know, this is the intention, the goal of this bill is to make sure that we are proactive and forward thinking and making sure that our cities prepare and our cities prepare to tackle and combat climate change. And so thank you for your support, and that will be all.
Thank you. Roll call being requested. Clerk will take the roll.
Hansen.
Aye.
Claflin. Fabian.
No.
Backer.
No.
Becker Finn.
Yes.
Eklund.
Aye.
Fisher.
Aye.
Green. Heintzman.
No.
Lee. Lewick.
No.
Morrison.
Yes.
Nelson.
No.
Purcell.
Aye.
Sandell.
Yes.
Sundin.
Aye.
Tice.
No.
Wagenius.
Nine, six passes. You're on your way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
I think our agenda is done. Before we go, I think it's always a timely reminder to note that the legislature is a separate and equal branch of government. And when it comes to funding and financing, and next week, I think on Tuesday, we have a very full agenda. And I would encourage members to continue to watch their phones for updates as time progresses. We are adjourned.